Welcome to the Breaking Up with Yo-Yo Dieting podcast. I'm your host, Amber McKenzie. I'm an author, speaker, and former yo-yo dieter turned successful weight maintainer, and I get to live in a body I love. Each week, I'll share stories, practical strategies, and have inspiring conversations with guests to help you get and keep the body you dream of. Now let's find out how to break up with yo-yo dieting and fall in love with yourself.
When we're going to the gym and when we're eating, it's not because we're trying to be skinny. It's because I freaking love myself and I'm eating this way because I know it's going to make me feel good and I know it's going to make me show up in life so much better. And I'm working out because I want the endorphins.
This podcast is not meant to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure any medical or mental health condition. Please check with your healthcare professional before making changes to your diet or exercise program. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited today because about a year and a half ago, I didn't follow people on social media. I didn't even know that you followed strangers on social media. But I found this girl who was rocking her body goals, who kind of looked exactly how I hoped to look one day, who was going out doing fun things, but looked amazing. I watched her, I followed her journey to become a bikini pro, and she just really had my attention. Now she travels the world, is basically a digital nomad running a business and still stays super lean. This girl, not only is she a bikini pro, travels the world, but she is a two-time cover model. So this is someone that I look up to a lot, and I think that we can learn so much from. So welcome, Sandra Tartaglia, and I couldn't be more excited to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you so much, Amber. That was an awesome introduction, and I'm so, so excited to be here and so honored that I was one of the first people you started following. That makes me feel really good knowing that, so thank you.
Well, my pleasure. So, Sandra, we're going to get into lots of good things today, like how you stay so lean out on the road, things like your morning routine, being intentional. But before we get into that, can you help the listeners maybe understand what it was like before this was your lifestyle, if your life ever was, if there ever was a before for you, and what it was like before you kind of had it all figured out?
Yeah, totally. So I actually have always been very fit and healthy my entire life. I was raised in a family where my mom was always on like some type of a, she was on this like low fat diet thing. I don't know. So she always just fed us really, really healthy. We always ate lots of vegetables. We ate super clean. We had treats once in a while. They weren't always in our house, which is actually interesting because I remember going to friends' houses and going absolutely crazy for treats when I left because we didn't really have it in our home. We were allowed like pop once a week. So I was pretty healthy. I was in dance. I skied. I played soccer. I did tons of sports. I mountain biked. And then as soon as I would finish one sport, it was like, okay, I'm in grade eight. I finished soccer. I finished dance. And then I was like going on runs with my mom and biking with my dad, like mountain biking, like racing. So I've always been really, really fit and healthy. I've never been in a place where I've really needed to lose a lot of weight. So I'm very blessed in a sense that I was just raised with the skills I needed and knowing what it takes to really have that body. But that being said, once I was in my 20s, like I don't even think I gained the freshman 15. I think I maybe gained like 5 pounds in university. I was always kind of aware of what I ate, but I definitely, that being said, in that time went through a period where I did feel like I gained weight and I started to see myself take on some eating disorder things, and I wouldn't want to eat lots of times, or I like wouldn't eat anything, and then I'd binge on cereal and lots of crap. So I did go through that a little bit in university. And then I got to a point where I was like, okay, I work out all the time. I'm super fit. But my body still was like, okay, it was just always decent. And I, at that point, decided I want to do something different. I found an amazing system. I found Isagenix, and that really took my body to a whole new level. And that's what got me into fitness competitions. And from there, I actually didn't even realize that I had quite a bit of fat. And I ended up losing 10 pounds of fat, putting on 10 pounds of lean muscle. And that's how I started competing. But then that brought on a whole other slew of things because I didn't always compete properly. I would stop using the products that worked really well for me, because I would hire coaches outside of it, and then I would go into adrenal fatigue and do this crazy binge thing. So I did post a lot of my competitions, except for the one that I got my pro card, this like crazy binging, like gaining like 15, 20 pounds and then like going crazy again and getting back on my system and getting back on track. And then I go do it. So I did go through a lot of that yo-yo dieting thing. Probably the worst when I competed.
Wow. And I think that that's so helpful for you to let us in on. And I love hearing about people that grew up learning healthy things, learning how to have some treats, having to figure out how do you integrate those in, but really not having the junk that's around. Because I know one of the things that, you know, research looks at is if you compare people that live in a right-sized body that feel comfortable, if all foods were of equal calories and equal health value, they would eat more chocolate cake. But because it's not of equal calories and equal health value to like leafy greens and vegetables, they make those choices. And I think, you know, you talked about you learned the skills, and I think that's exactly accurate based on the literature, is that we have to learn the skills. And it sounds like you were taught those things growing up. And then as you went through bikini competitions, we're hearing a story of relearning the new skills for not rebounding after them. And so what do you think happened in the bikini competition days that led to the rebounds and the difficulties after your bikini competitions?
Yeah. So going back to when I grew up, you know, I said we didn't have treats in the house, but we always had a really good balance where after a meal, we would have treats. Like, I'm an Italian born girl. So I have like, we had big meals on Sundays, but after every meal, and to this day, my parents still do that, we have coffee and cookies. It just happened. So I never felt this like craziness around that. But then when I started competing, it was like no sugar. And I am a sugar freak. I love baked goods. Like, I can't even tell you how much I love baked goods and chocolate. I could care less about chips. I could care less about that. But when it comes to that stuff, I go really crazy. So sorry, what was the question again, Amber? I feel like I got off track there.
What do you think happened after the bikini competitions that led to some unhealthful eating?
So yeah, so basically because I cut everything out and I always felt deprived, which I had never felt in my life before that, it was like the second that show was done, you would start, you'd be like, oh my God, I just want like an entire pizza and like donuts and cookies. And you know how addicting sugar is, especially if you don't have it for a long time. And I wouldn't be able to stop, like to the point where my stomach was so bloated and sore, and I would just like keep eating. I would just keep eating and eating and eating and eating, and I couldn't have this shut off with it. And then the interesting thing was, if I was like, okay, well, I'm going to compete again. And if I knew that I was going to compete again, I'd be like, okay, well, this is my last week to go crazy. And I would go on these things where I'm like, well, soon I'm going to be back here. So it was always like, well, when I do this, when I do that, and I was totally out of balance. It was like, if I knew that I was going to be getting lean again, I would be like, I'm going to go to freaking town. And like, all the time eating to the point my stomach felt like it was just painful. It was just painful. It wasn't fun, but I couldn't stop because it just like, it tasted so good. Mm-hmm. So it was just that huge deprivation that put me down that path. And I actually ended up going a naturopath because I was like, what the hell is going on? And I was in extreme adrenal fatigue.
Yeah. And I really appreciate how you've highlighted what this cycle can look like, because I think it's something maybe not even a bikini competitor, but just a person dieting can get so stuck eating too clean or cutting out too much. And then it's almost like we fantasize about it and we dream about it and we want it and we want it. And it's like our body is starving in a desert and it doesn't know there's a grocery store around the corner, and we see a cookie and it's like, I must have all the cookies, and you just can't stop. And so I appreciate that story, even from someone like you that's learned these skills. It really speaks to that when we're still depriving, your body is going to, doesn't know that, you know, it can have some later because it's so used to not getting it at all. Wow. Okay. So what do you think you learned from these periods of that extreme restriction and then all the eating? What are your biggest takeaways for you to prevent that in the future?
Yeah. So huge takeaways. So number one, it's just like, really, if I decide to compete again, it's choosing the right coach. So by my last competition, I went with a coach who I knew was going to just load my body with nutrition. I was taking so many omegas. I was never feeling deprived, like to the point where I was like, okay, like where's the point where I'm starving? Where's the point where this is going to be painful? And that was with Michael Greyer. And I just was always eating tons of food. That was the only show I didn't relapse after. And so that was one lesson I learned, was choosing the right coach when it comes to fitness competitions. And then when it comes to life in general, the biggest lessons were enjoy things every single day, because I go crazy when I don't. Like, I really do. I love chocolate. I give myself a treat every single day. If I'm feeling like it, I just freaking eat it because I'm like, this is what my body wants. And when I don't give myself that, then I will eat like 3 chocolate bars at once.
So how do you know the difference between wanting like a treat, noticing like a singular treat versus noticing when your body is like, I think you should have 15 chocolate bars. How do you know, like, how is that intuitive? How do you figure out the difference between I want one and it's appropriate and I want many and it's not appropriate?
Yeah, I think it's all awareness, self-awareness, and being really, and I'm constantly having to remind myself to just be intentional when I eat and when I do things. And when I'm craving like 30 chocolate bars or an entire thing of cookies, I'm like, usually for me personally, I'm procrastinating on something. Like, I am like a huge procrastinator. As soon as I'm opening a fridge or doing something, I'm like, now I just know. I'm like, Sandra, you're not being aware. You're like, literally, I'll just like do things and not be aware of them. And now I know, I've learned this from so many years that I'm like, okay, what? It's usually an emotion that's causing you to want an abundance of something. So it's like slowing down, taking a breath and being like, okay, why do I feel like this? Do I actually need this? And then even like drinking a glass of water before, or like a cup of tea, and then being like, is this really what I want? Like, is that those chocolate bars really what I want? Do I really need to go out of my way to go get that? Like, I still, honestly, I'm not a pro at this, Amber. Like, I can't have that stuff in my house. I can't have chocolate in my house. I can't have nut butter in my house. I have still a lot of control around it. So like today, for instance, I went out and bought 2 like little protein balls and they were so good. And I had one in the afternoon and I had one tonight for a snack and I feel so satisfied. I feel zero guilt. So I just know if I constantly have that stuff in my house. So yes, I'm aware. Yes, all that stuff is there, but I still don't like to have it easily accessible because it's still something that I'm working through, if that makes sense.
Yes, makes perfect sense. And I totally relate to that. If there's junk in my house, I'm going to eat it. Like, it's going to be in my body. So I just get it out of my house. And that's not 100% true. My partner brings junk into the house, but he has like his section of the cupboard, which I just don't go in. But I think it's really creating those strategies that we don't set ourselves up for failure. So I appreciate what you said there. So very quickly, I want to get into this intentional, but before we move over there, I'm just wondering if you can give a brief summary of what is different between your body, when you're prepping for a show, when you're on the stage, when you get your bikini card versus how you live life. Do you look the same all the time? What are the similarities? What are the differences?
Huge differences. Huge, 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 huge differences. So when I am prepping, I am probably in the gym, especially in the end, like about 3 hours a day. It takes up a lot of time in your life between like driving to the gym, showering, meal prepping, all of that stuff. It's so much work. And I literally don't put anything bad in my body unless my coach is like, okay, you can have like a cheat meal or something. So there's no sugar. Everything's measured with food. So your body looks tight. Your body looks freaking rock hard. It's like so beautiful. And you do, like, you feel like a machine. When you're in a proper prep, you feel so good and strong. The part that really sucks is the social life. It really sucks. Like, it's not fun. I don't know if I'll ever compete again, to be honest, because of that. So yeah, during prep, I mean, my body, everything matters. Everything's measured. And my body's beautiful. I feel like I look like a statue. And then when I am not in prep and I'm traveling, I love my body just the same. It's obviously something I need to work on, but I don't work out as much. I do a 20-minute flow every morning, whether it be stretching or an actual like yoga flow. And then I go to the gym for about an hour every day. And that's it for workout. And I eat more intuitively. I eat like 2 shakes a day. It's how I like love to live my lifestyle. And then I'll have 2 small meals or else like 1 bigger meal and 2 snacks. It just depends. And I'm not restricting myself ever. I just kind of eat more what I want, especially when I travel, because I don't want to miss out on opportunities. Like, if I'm out somewhere and there's amazing food or I'm at a new show, I will eat everything. I'm not like, oh, I can't have that because I hate that. Like, that's not fun. And I still maintain a really beautiful, strong, fit body because I know now how, if I have something coming up, like how to act like so many days before that I know I'm going to feel really good later. And I think traveling too, like you're always in a bikini. So you're like, I really want to feel good in my bikini. So sometimes I'll just think about how I want to feel in my body. And I'll think about that. If I'm consistently eating bad food, I'll be like, how is this going to make you feel? So I kind of bring it back to that, but totally different look. I'm puffier. I'm not as tight. I maybe have some jiggles now. And when you're competing, everything is like a rock.
So they're very different looks. And I think that that's helpful for people to understand when they're on Instagram or they're looking at competitors. That life is a very specific life. That prep is very specific and it's different than what an everyday body looks like. And I think that's an important distinction.
And it's not fun. And to be honest, it took away from my business, my online business, and it took away from my relationships. Everything is focused on that. That is like number one. It's the priority. And it doesn't fill you up. It actually, to me, is a very selfish sport because I can't serve the people in my life and make them feel the way I want to because everything's about when I eat next and when I'm at the gym and everyone else is second.
So I know one of the things that is important to you is living your life intentionally and figuring out how do you want to feel. So can you talk a little bit about how you keep a body that is still beautiful and that is still something you feel comfortable going to the beach in, wearing a bikini all the time, traveling? How do you live this intentional life where you get to keep that and still do all the most amazing fun things?
Yes, I love that question. So for me, my morning routine is everything. It really sets up my day for success. And I really wake up and I think, this is what I think first of all, is like, who am I here to serve today? Is as soon as I wake up at 5 o'clock every morning, by the way. Wow. I don't care where in the world I am. That's my routine. That's my thing. I love to do yoga while the sun's rising. I actually am finishing right now before it rises. So I wake up and I'm kind of just like, right away, I want to be intentional. Who am I serving today? What do I need to do? And then I go do my yoga flow and I meditate after that. So I'll meditate for about 10 minutes a day. And I literally will just think about how I want to feel throughout the day, how I want to feel in my body. And I'll imagine myself going through each and every day and how I'm moving my body, how I'm eating, where am I going? So I'll have an idea of what my schedule looks like that day. And then I can think about myself walking through that day as it's happening. And then another thing, I'm right now reading Brendon Burchard's book, High Performance Habits.
Oh my God, me too.
Yeah, and it's been really, really great for me. So this is why I'm excited about this intention thing. So this isn't something I've always kind of done it, but now I'm being more intentional with it. Mm. So basically how he says, you know, between each activity that you do, and it's just like, okay, how do I want to feel during this activity? And like taking a second to release what you just did, go into the next activity, breathe, release everything. And then it's like, okay, how do I want to feel? And how do I want the outcome to be from this next activity? Even when I eat and like being present with the people I'm with, being present with my food, being present with everything. So I think that's been really helpful for me, is knowing how I'm looking at my day, knowing how I want to feel throughout my day. And then I just am so much more on track. I know when I'm going to the gym, I know when I'm doing things. And that's been awesome for me. And even thinking about how I want to feel at the gym has been awesome. Like, I'm not just going through the motions at the gym. I'm really understanding, you know, what muscle am I working today? Even like thinking about when you're working out your muscles, like I'm literally thinking about that I'm sculpting a statue. Like, I'm thinking about the muscle I'm working, and just being intentional with everything I do, every bite I eat, every call I have in my business consistently. And then going to bed with gratitude every night helps.
And I'm hearing that this is such an intentional practice. It's not like you're winging, oh, I want to feel grateful, or you're winging, oh, I think I'll just pick some random food that may or may not make me feel good right now. Like, you know what you want and you know what's going to make you feel that way. So I'm curious, what is the energy, or what is it? How do you want to feel every day? Do you know, help us understand what it is you're working towards.
Yeah. So I want to feel energized, number one. I want to feel joyful. Actually, I have my three words in my thing that go off every, so these are some things that I've done over the years that have really helped me. So I always have set reminders in my phone. I've done this for years of how I want to feel. So I used to have reminders go off every hour and they were like, One was like, I'm growing into a pinnacle leader. I am feeding my body nourishing food. I am moving and loving on my body every single day. And it's like really thinking about like, why am I at the gym? This is a big one. Like when we're going to the gym and when we're eating, it's not because we're trying to be skinny. It's because I freaking love myself. And I'm eating this way because I know it's going to make me feel good. And I know it's going to make me show up in life so much better. And I'm working out because I want the endorphins, not because I'm like, I hate my body, right? So here, I don't know. Oh, you can't see this. I forgot it's a podcast. I was gonna, like, yeah, that's the screen. So my three words are happy, productive, and peaceful.
Nice.
So that's how I want to feel every day. And definitely bringing energy into all of that. But that's it. I want to feel happy. I want to feel productive and I want to feel peaceful. And really that happiness, that productivity and that peace comes from fueling my body properly and moving my body properly. Because if those things aren't existing, I just won't feel as good. Like if I eat like shit, I will feel negative emotions. If I don't move my body, I'm going to feel stale. Like for me to do a flow in the morning and open up my body, that brings me so much peace and joy. And I'm like, I am opening up to the universe right now and all the abundance that's going to just pour in today. And that's how I want to feel. And that feeling, that's why in the morning, I don't look at my emails. I don't look at my text messages. And right now I'm living in Bali and I wake up with the time change with like literally 50 plus messages every morning. And that can feel really overwhelming and I don't give a shit. I don't look at my phone. I put on my yoga practice. I have my tea. I do my meditation. And then at 6 o'clock, then I'm looking at my day and I make sure that I give myself my energy first before I give anything to anybody else in the world. Cause I will only give them a fraction of what I can if I don't put it to myself first.
Oh, that's so good. And I think, you know, if we're talking about being happy, productive, peaceful, that constant grind, that constant energy of everything coming in, like that's the opposite. And we are so much more in control in the morning first thing when we are choosing actions rather than reacting to everything. And I can only imagine that that helps so much. And you gave us some good examples with exercise about doing that morning flow. And of course that would bring peace and happiness and really open you up. Can you help us understand if you were to eat a chocolate, if you were to eat a cookie, how do you decide that, like, how do you bring intention into that and know that this cookie is okay, this cookie isn't bad, this cookie is a happy indulgence, but not like a gluttonous, I should feel miserable indulgence. Like, how do you bring that into these foods that we might call trigger foods or bad foods?
Yeah, I love that. So number one, when I eat cookies and treats, they're all actually really healthy versions, but still if you can eat abundance of them, right? So I only eat healthy food. Like I only like healthy things. So my cookies are full of seeds and nut butter and like really healthy ingredients. I don't eat white bread. I don't eat anything like highly processed. Like I don't eat that stuff. So anytime I do eat a treat, it's from some like freaking, it's like some raw vegan dessert. It is every time. Or like I'd only buy like the best chocolate, the best dark chocolate I can possibly get my hands on. So for me, that's the treats that I have. And that's why it just never feels guilty or ugly or gross. Or the ones that I do eat that have more sugar, they're homemade desserts from my Nana or my mom. And I'm like, this is so beautiful for me to eat because like, who knows, like my Nana's getting old, right? So I never feel guilt around it because I'm like swallowing her love right now. That's how I think about it. But it's true, right? She, like everything grandmas make puts so much love into it. And like your family makes. When I have like homemade desserts, I don't feel guilty because I'm like, there was so much love poured into this and I'm going to enjoy it and love it. And when I have treats throughout the day, like I said, they're healthy, really healthy vegan desserts that I choose. So choosing the food, because if I were to go buy a shitty chocolate bar or like some highly processed snack, I would want so much of it because it has that fake shitty sugar in it that is the most addicting thing in the entire world. So when I have the what type of snacks that I choose, the type of desserts that I choose, I don't feel like I need more. Like it was a shake for dinner. And then a couple hours later, I'm like, this is just a nice ball of fat. It's actually so good for me to give my body this right now. And the desserts I choose are just full of fat and seeds and nuts and healthy ingredients that are good for me. And they taste amazing. So it's just choosing healthy desserts, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like you're choosing healthy desserts and coming back to that word intentional, like you're very intentional as you choose these desserts, as you're choosing what you're putting in your body, knowing that outcome of wanting to be happy, productive, and peaceful. It sounds like you really design your life to feel that way.
Mm-hmm. And even like if you go out and look at a menu at any restaurant, like I really do choose the meal that is going to give me the most energy.
Right.
Energy. So I'm like, okay, this is what's on this menu. What from this menu is going to make me feel the best after I eat it?
That's a great way to think about food. It's not like what's going to give me the most pleasure right now or what's going to be the tastiest, like that I'm craving. What's going to give me energy in the long term? I love that. So when you're traveling all over, living in Bali, what is your top suggestion for staying lean and living in a body that feels great for you?
Yeah. So number one, everyone listening, if you don't have the app Downward Dog, get it because it is the most life-changing app I've ever had. I'm obsessed with yoga and it's literally like being in a yoga studio. So it's definitely just having that routine and it's not easy. I just traveled for 8 months. I was in a new city or new country every single month, often doing side trips. So it's really just keeping that schedule no matter what. So knowing I'm doing my yoga flow in the morning. And then I would always find a gym everywhere I went. If not, I would find a HIIT training to do. And I would just put it in my schedule and know that's what I was doing. So that's number one with body movement. I don't care where I am. I'm moving my body the same. And then in terms of food, I am an Isagenix girl. I freaking love it. Literally, Amber, half of my suitcase is empty because I stock up on Isagenix. And sometimes I would be in countries that it wouldn't be the next month. I've ditched clothes to make sure that I have it because I know it's going to make me feel the best. I know it's going to help me stay on track with my goals. So that is like number one is priority. So when I'm traveling, it's number one, having a shake every single morning, no matter what, like absolutely no matter what. And then, like I said, you know, going and eating foods that are smarter. I love cafes. I love cute, vegan, healthy cafes. It is my obsession. So it's not that hard to travel. I like love it. I get to explore all these new cool places. In Bali, it's like endless. I'm like in vegan cafe heaven here. And it's just choosing those places fill my soul. So it's like when you travel, you just have to choose which places are going to make you like, again, what places make me feel good. I don't like going to bars. I don't like going to like places with fish. If I go to a menu and it's all fried and like burgers, like that is like low energy, low vibe food. Everything's low vibe about it. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm going to friggin' run out that door. So when I'm traveling, it's just, I have the exact same lifestyle, no matter where I am. It's really it. It's knowing that I'm going to work out. I'm going to find a gym. I'm going to eat my Isagenix shake every single morning, at least one a day. And then find like the cutest cafes ever. And I make it like a fun game because I want to find like, I'm like all over Instagram. I'm like vegan and I'm not a vegan by the way, but I just love the vibe of like vegan and cafes and food. So I'm just like best coffee shops, healthy food. I just go on Instagram actually. And I'm like healthy food, healthy living or whatever, wherever I am.
Oh my gosh, like I love that.
Food, Bali's a tough example because everything's healthy here, but it's like, you know, like healthy eats Brazil, like cafes in Brazil, healthy food, whatever. I do healthy lifestyle everywhere I go, look it up on Instagram and find the best restaurants.
That's such a good strategy. And I think it's one of those things where you're not winging it. You're being intentional. You're using the technology we all use. Like you can use that scroll hole for good, you know, and you're giving us a real strategy on how to do that. So I so appreciate that. And I think one of the key things I've pulled is you're just consistent. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. You are consistent and you're intentional about your health. You're not winging it. You know who you are. You know how you want to feel. And you're taking the actions every day, no matter what country, no matter where, no matter what time. You are doing the things that work for you and you're taking care of yourself. Wow. This has been so informative. So just before we get off the call, is there anything that I haven't asked you about that you haven't got a chance to talk about that you think is really important that the listeners should know?
Belief in yourself is everything. Belief in yourself and knowing that you're worthy of living in the body and feeling the way that you want to feel and knowing that you're worthy of that and believing in yourself enough to make yourself move and do it. And taking 100% responsibility for everything. You decide how you get to feel. You decide when you move your body. You decide what goes in. And you decide when you want to be intentional or just go through the motions. So I think it's belief is so big until I really understood that to have belief in myself. I struggled and I was super unaware and just going through the motions, and taking 100% responsibility for your life is everything. I can't stand anyone who puts anything on anybody else. It's all us. We decide.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I so appreciate that, you know, you were talking about that responsibility for ourselves and really pouring that belief into yourself, because we're the only person we can bet on. We can't control. I mean, if we can hardly control ourselves, we can hardly control anybody else in this world, in this planet, right? And we are all worthy of that, but it's a choice, I guess, again, to believe that, an intentional choice to align ourselves with that vision and align ourselves to walk that walk and talk that talk. And some days it's easier than others. That's for sure. Thank you so much, Chandra, for sharing about how you live your life, some of the struggles, how you overcome them, and the things that you do daily to keep you living this life that is like, we would probably look at you and be like, Instagram life, look at her. But I think you've really opened up your humanness and how you get to have this life and even the struggles that come with it. So I so appreciate you and thank you so much for being on.
Thanks, Amber. I loved it.
Thank you so much for tuning in. This podcast was made because of your questions, so please help me get it out there by leaving a rating and review. Until next time, remember, you've got this, and stay consistent.